Speaking of that, we'll get started. Laughing at your own mistakes lengthens your life. Laughing at your wife's mistake shortens it. And there's a study that's been conducted that said women who add a few extra pounds live longer than the men who mention it. And behind every husband who thinks he wears the pants in a family is a wife who told him which pants to wear. I got a couple more. That's how I like to start. So, an Indiana man is suing the Smart Water brand for not making him smart. So I'd like to formally announce my lawsuit against Thin Mints. Okay, that one's pretty good. Where's Deli? Last one here. I just recently met a woman outside of Aldi who was visibly upset. And she said she had lost $200. So of course I gave her $40 of the $200 I had just found. Because when God blesses you, you've got to do something to bless others. So. And if the message goes a little sideways, then I've got some more of those for later. So I know you're excited about them. But today we're going to talk about who we think we are. Who do you think you are? So when I was 15, which is just a little bit ago, I was a courtesy clerk at a grocery store called Albertsons. Anybody know what Albertsons is? It's kind of a West Coast thing. It started in Idaho, where I'm from. And I was a courtesy clerk, meaning like I bagged the groceries and took the groceries out for the people. I think like Kroger kind of still does that. Maybe Baszler's here still does that. But one day I was working, I'd bagged some groceries, and really the courtesy clerks back then, we really liked to go take those groceries out because we'd get a tip. So it was really nice. And back then, we didn't make a whole lot of money, so the tips were nice. So I was pushing a cart out to a lady's car, and she had opened the trunk, and in the trunk was a box. It wasn't very big, you know, just a small little box. And I went to move that to the side so that I could fit all of her groceries inside the trunk, and she started screaming at me, like loud. And, "Don't touch that! Do you know what that is?" And of course I didn't, because it was a cardboard box. "Those are my husband's ashes." And of course I'm mortified, like I'm 15. I just think I'm trying to do my job. And the last thing she said to me before I ran away was, "Who do you think you are?" Has anybody ever heard that? Like, I've heard that a few times in my life. But the reason I say that is as I was praying about this message, that story came to mind. Haven't thought about it for years, but it came to mind, and it was an impactful thing in my life because I felt this hammer come down on me. "Who do you think you are?" And it was a negative thing in my life. But today, I don't want to use the negative part of it. I actually want to ask the question to you all, who do you think you are? Because we gotta think who we are so we can know who we are. And we're going to talk about identity. So identity in Christ. What does it mean to have an identity, a kingdom identity? There's some things in the scripture that tell us exactly who we are. We're adopted son and daughters into the kingdom. We're co-heirs with Christ. We sit at the right hand with him. We have all power and authority. He gave it to us. Do we believe that today? I'm not even sure you do. I mean, I was a coach, so I'm going to need a little feedback here. You know, I need you to get a little bit excited, right? Do you actually believe that we're co-heirs with Christ? Yeah, we do. We are. We get to be. Whatever, we can walk through life not believing that. We absolutely can. We can be right there on the blue banner, salvation, and, you know, we get to spend eternity with him. But there's so much more to our life when we actually think that and then know that. All right? So specifically, there's a lot of things in the world of the identity of Christ that we can go into. What I want to talk about today is what God speaks to you and then how the enemy attacks that. I'm going to show you two places in Scripture about that. It's not a new revelation, but a revelation I've been watching in my own life the last couple of years. Okay, so we're going to turn to Genesis 3 and read a few verses there. Of course, this is the serpent. So it says, the serpent was the shrewdest of all the wild animals the Lord God had made. One day he asked the woman, did God really say you must not eat the fruit from any of the trees in the garden? Of course we may eat the fruit from the trees in the garden, the woman replied. It's only the fruit from the tree in the middle of the garden that we are not allowed to eat. God said, you must not eat it or even touch it. If you do, you will die. You won't die, the serpent replied to the woman. God knows that your eyes will be opened as soon as you eat it, and you will be like God, knowing both good and evil. The woman was convinced. She saw that the tree was beautiful and its fruit looked delicious, and she wanted the wisdom it would give her. So she took some of the fruit and ate it. Then she gave some to her husband, who was with her, and he ate it too. And at that moment, their eyes were opened, and they suddenly felt shame at their nakedness. So they sewed fig leaves together to cover themselves. Now, if we look at that scripture, that little passage, most of us have heard that. If you look at my laptop, there's actually a reminder of it. I don't know if you know the apple actually has a bite taken out of it in that logo. So, I mean, I don't know if there's any conspiracy theorists, but I think that's on purpose. But anyway, just to symbolize. So what did the serpent say? The first things coming out of his mouth, the deceiver's mouth, is, did God really say? Did God really say? And just before that in scripture, God actually said, don't eat the fruit. And then the serpent comes and says, did God really say that? So how many times in our life do you get a word from the Lord, or you feel like you get a word from the Lord, and immediately, right, the deceiver, the devil, Satan, whatever you want to call him, comes to you and says, did God really say that? Is that really what's going on? Am I supposed to stay? Am I supposed to go? Am I supposed to run? Am I supposed to stay put? Did God really say? That isn't a question of identity. That is a question of, do we believe what God actually said? And are we willing to sacrifice everything because of what he said to us? Eve fell into that trap of, oh, okay, maybe he didn't really say that. That's not really what he meant. Because in a season, we're convinced that this is what he meant, but then something happens, and the next season, we're not really sure if that's what God meant. And that happens to us. It's happened to me multiple times. If you know me at all, my family, we love adventure. We love change. And so 6-8 months ago, I was not a resident of Terre Haute any longer, right? I left. I moved to Pennsylvania. Convinced, God really said, right? Convinced. I was at peace. I was ready to go. My wife was ready to go with me. She wasn't as excited to leave, to be quite honest. But I had to go, and here's what I had to find out is the things that are important in our life, God speaks clearly about if we're willing to listen. Community, connection is very, very important. It's why it's the theme of this place, community and connection with him and with each other. That is the theme of Christ Way. That's what we do. So as I moved my family to Pennsylvania, I found out that I didn't have that anymore, and it was hard. Because I don't know if anybody's from the East Coast or been to the East Coast. It's not like the Midwest, right? It is not like that. So I have lived in a very nice neighborhood. I knew zero of my neighbors, even after trying, you know. So it's just a different place. And we found that we love this place, and we love this place, and we love Andy and Melinda and their leadership, and we're back that quickly. I'm willing to lay it all down for that. I'll go anywhere if God says. So we decided. That six-month journey to Pennsylvania was the most expensive 6 months of my life. So, and it's not ended yet because tomorrow morning I fly out and then drive U-Haul and everything back, all our caravan back. So, but I'm really excited to be back. So the serpent says, did God really say, right? Obviously talking about the tree in the garden. Did you know that trees actually grow two ways at the same time? Right? A lot of plants do, but trees, I'm talking about trees specifically, they grow gravitropically and phototropically. right? So the root system grows away from light and towards gravity. That's gravitropic, right? The root system grows towards gravity, away from light, phototropically. So the fruit system, the above ground system, grows to light, away from gravity. That's phototropic. And it happens at the same time. In fact, when the seed gets into the ground, we know that it has to grow down first before it can grow up first, right? The root has to take root, and then the above ground system comes up, the fruit system. That is actually our life. It is a picture of what we're supposed to be, right? You cannot have a real fruit system functioning above ground if the root system isn't thriving. What is the root system? Those are the things in our life that happen in the dark, that happen when nobody's looking, that happen day to day, right? If our day-to-day life isn't grounded in Jesus, our fruit system is not going to be anything, really. I mean, I think it was last, I don't remember when the storm was last year. It was before I left, so June maybe? We had that big storm and every tree in Terre Haute felt like it went down. And a lot of us lost power for many, many days. And some of those trees were unhealthy. That's why they snapped, right? And a lot of more ash trees, I think. But what happens is if our root system isn't strong, the tree above ground is going to uproot, it's going to break off, or you're not going to produce any fruit in season. And what we have done, and I've done in the past, is all what Andy calls, I'll tape the fruit on, right? I'll make it look like I got some fruit. On Sundays, I'm kind, I'm patient, I'm gentle, but Monday through Saturday, I'm a big jerk, right? Doesn't mean we don't make mistakes. Doesn't mean it's not easy. It's not hard to be that way, but the roots are important, very, very important. So what does that mean? If you want to see the growth in your life that God's asking us for, if we really want to know who you are, you must learn to grow like a tree in the dark when no one is watching. Here's one of my favorite things. You got to do the reps. Have we heard that here before? If you've been here 6 months, you probably heard this. You have to do the reps in the dark, right? Brian knows, right? You know, being an athlete, I coached for many, many years. The guys that excelled are the ones that did the reps when nobody else was watching. So what are the reps? What are those things you might do? If you're a note taker, take this down. I actually wrote this, and then if I could tattoo it on my arm right now, I probably would, because I need this reminder every single day. You must be a person of prayer. Must. Jesus taught in Matthew 6 that when you pray, assuming that all of his disciples would pray, right? He didn't say, well, if you get a chance, pray. He said, when you pray. Saturday mornings, 10 a.m. I was here yesterday. Wonderful hour of prayer. If you don't know where to start, come then. First Wednesday every month, deeper still. If you're available, come then. It's a great time to pray. And you can just sit and be in the presence of God and pray. But when you're at home, listen. I'm learning more that my prayer life is a lot less of me talking. I don't really talk a whole lot anymore. I say, okay, that sounds great. And I'm just listening. I came back to work at a landscape company, and so I'll put my earbuds in. Nick knows. Nick's with me now. Nick knows that I'll put my earbuds in, and my guys will be yelling at me, but I'm not even paying attention. And sometimes there's nothing in my earbuds. I just want to listen. So I drown out all the rest of the noise so I can hear. What's God saying today? Be a person of prayer. The second thing is be a doer of the word. A lot of us are good hearers. Be a doer, not just a hearer. Why? Does anybody know? James 1 says we're deceiving ourselves. We're lying to ourselves if you're not a doer of the word. And then thirdly, these are the reps, right? Remember, this is the reps. Be a disciple. Matthew 28, be your disciple. We talked about this, a few of us, last night. You can be a believer, but you must be a disciple. There was a lot of believers around Jesus. They're following him around, looking, but the disciples lived to follow Jesus. And in order to disciple somebody, I believe you have to be discipled. So I know even Andy is looking, he gets discipled by his people, people outside of this place. He's looking for counsel. He's looking for help. I'm looking for counsel. I'm looking for help. I'm asking those that that disciple me. I give them permission to speak into my life. And I have one rule. My family's going to say it before I even say it online, is don't be an idiot. That's our family rule. It's one rule. It covers everything. Don't be an idiot. So I give people permission to tell me that. Josh, you're violating rule number one right now. It works. It's an immediate reminder. Oh my goodness, I'm being selfish. Does that make sense? Yeah? Okay. So this is how we do the reps. We're people of prayer, right? We're doers of the word, and not just hearers. We're not deceiving ourselves. Doing the word just means what? Acting on those things that people are saying and the Holy Spirit's saying to us. And he says what? See a weed, hear a voice. Because we pulled all the weeds the other day. So see a weed, hear a voice, see some trash, pick it up, whatever it may be. The Holy Spirit is always speaking to you. You just need to hear it and do it. And be a disciple. I think we talk a lot about mentorship, and I think it can be interchangeable. You know, I've got a friend sitting over there. He was playing the keyboard. He's mentored me for a long time now. And he's one of those guys that will tell me, real fast, you're being an idiot, Josh. But give people permission to say that, because we don't always get it right. At the highest levels, we make mistakes, right? Everybody does. Okay, let's turn to the second example, Matthew 3. Verse 13. This is John the Baptist baptizing everybody. Jesus comes, and this is one of my favorite stories. So verse 13 says, then Jesus went from Galilee to the Jordan River to be baptized by John. But John tried to talk him out of it, of course. I'm the one who needs to be baptized by you, he said. So why are you coming to me? But Jesus said, it should be done. For we must carry out all that God requires. So John agreed to baptize him. After his baptism, as Jesus came up out of the water, the heavens were open. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and settling on him. And a voice from heaven said, this is my dearly loved Son who brings me great joy. I believe that was audible. Can you imagine that? How powerful. I mean, if I was just hanging out at the river that day, that probably would have changed my life. But how amazing. Okay, so we're going to go into chapter 4. But remember, when the writer of Matthew wrote this, there wasn't any chapters, right? So this is immediately after. This is like still part of the story. Matthew 4 verse 1 says, then, or immediately, Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. Okay, so he's baptized. We don't know exactly how much time, but in the written word, immediately he's sent into the wilderness, and he's being led by the Holy Spirit to be tempted. So don't believe that the Holy Spirit isn't going to let some temptation come into your life. It's going to come, especially if a word has come. If you've been given a word, the tempter is going to come to tempt you. Okay? So, verse 2, and after fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. Okay, let's pause there for a second. Has anybody ever fasted? Okay, so after 12 hours, I'm starving. So, but this says after 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. I don't know how that works, but obviously it was Jesus, but I'm hungry now, right? And I will be hungry later. He went 40 days listening to the Father. Verse 3 says, and the tempter came and said to him, if you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread. So Jesus has fasted for 40 days. He's obviously hungry. And the tempter comes and says what? Make these loaves bread, or these stones bread. But he first says what? If you are the Son of God. Remember what happened at the baptism just right before that? This is my dearly beloved Son who I'm highly pleased, I love. He gives me great joy. And immediately the devil comes and says, well, if you're the Son of God, it's not really even about, he's using physical ailment, hunger, but it's really about, who are you? Who do you think you are, Jesus? That's what he's saying. I believe the enemy is saying that to all of us all the time. Who do you think you are, Jeremy? Who do you think you are? Right? I get that. I actually feel that question in my life all the time. Who do I think I am? Because that's the enemy's job, is to make you question who you are. Because if you question who you are in Jesus, the temptations are so easy to fall into. The turning away from God's word is so easy to fall into if we don't know who we are. Going back to the tree, the roots have to be deep. You think of an oak tree. Sometimes an oak tree could be 40 feet tall, but the roots 60 feet in the ground. Those roots have to be deep. The reps make you stronger, right? Are you the Son of God, he says. The enemy will always attack the last thing God speaks to you. So I want you to think about it. If you've never heard the voice of God, you can right now, today. He's always speaking. And maybe we'll take a minute at the end, and I want you to listen to what he's speaking to you, because I believe he's going to speak clearly into the situations that are probably on your mind right this very second. Who do you think you are, Jesus? Whenever the Lord leads us into a conflict, it's never for our punishment. Anybody ever been in conflict? Have you been in conflict lately? Yeah. There's conflict in our lives. When I have conflict with my wife, we call it intense fellowship. There's conflict. When he leads you into conflict, it's never for your punishment, but always punishment for the devil. When he leads us into conflict, he's always going to equip you to come out on top. But you have to have spiritual maturity to see what's happening and respond in that truth. Otherwise, we respond in our humanity, and our responses, I don't know about you, but my responses are not typically kind and loving and enjoyable. I'm not enjoyable to be around. But if we're responding to conflict with an identity of Jesus, those conflicts become a breeze. Are they fun? Not always, but they become a breeze because we're looking not at ourselves, but them, and we're looking through at people through Jesus' eyes. Even those closest to us, they, you know, it's always the ones closest to us that can push our buttons, right? I mean, I know Mindy watching on the camera, I know exactly what to say, right? Now, I'm wise enough not to say it after 20 years, but I know I could, right? If I value my life, I won't. If we fall into a trap of offense or let the enemy lure us into questioning who we are, we're being set up to fail. We're being set up to fail. Conflict every day. Some of us have conflict every day with people. Maybe it's part of our job where we resolve conflict, or it's part of it. But how do we respond? That's identity. How do we respond? Can I tell you a secret about the voice of God, of hearing the voice of God? Just say yes before he commands anything. Before he tells you what to do, just say yes. Always have a heart of yes right now in your life right now. So when he says something, yes. That's scary for me, right? Actually, standing here after all these years, that still scares me to death. Because I used to say, I'm never going to do this. Matt and Bree know this. I've said this too many times. I'm never going to do this. I'm never going to do this. And then God, what does he do? Ask me to do this. So don't have that posture, because that's a dangerous one. But the posture is yes. Yes, Lord, I'll do it. I want you to move to Somalia and minister to ISIS. Yes, I'll do that. I'm not afraid. Right? How about I want you to go downtown on a weekend night and minister to people in Terre Haute? Yes, Lord, I'll do that. I want you to resolve those unresolved issues with your family members. Really, Lord? Okay, yes, I'll do that. Right? Those are the things he's calling us to do. I have a brother I haven't spoken to in years. I've been trying to contact him the last few weeks. My mom doesn't know this, so she's probably going to be crying, but I've been trying to contact him. Not because the only reason I'm doing it is because I felt a prompting of the Holy Spirit, because in my humanity, I don't want to, if I'm being honest. But he loves my brother, and he wants that relationship to be close, and it's not. So how, what can I do? Just say yes. And let him walk through the outcome with you. Let him walk through the difficulty of those relationships, because they're hard. Amen? Okay. So say yes before he commands, and say yes before you hear anything from the Lord. Just say yes. Many people listen to the word, but we actually never hear the word. So whatever I'm speaking, the scriptures I'm reading, you can hear it, but it never pierces your heart. You have to let the word pierce your heart so that it gets in. It's almost like we have this protective covering on the heart, and I don't mean literally, but in the heart of our soul, that we have to let the word of God get so deep in there that you just have to move. You have to do what he says. You want to do what he says. It's not an option. It's not scary. We just run when he says run. There is a design for our life because of a designer. God designed our life. So if you believe that, then the design implies that there's purpose, right? There's a purpose for our life. And if there's a purpose, that implies that there's a destiny for our life. You have a destiny. And it's awesome. It's amazing. And if there's a destiny on our life, that implies accountability. So you are accountable for that. And if we get any of that stuff messed up, then what we have is a people that just live for themselves and not for him. And your life's all about you. And from experience, it doesn't work out really good that way. Just so you know. If your life is all about you, you're going to be miserable because you're never going to lift up to your own expectations. It just doesn't work. There's a water bottle rolling down here. If you want to grab it, it's fine. So, you were made in the image of God. Everyone here, all of your family members, everyone on earth, made in the image of God. Why? For the purpose of relationship, and at our very worst, in those moments of our very worst, think about some of the things we've done. He still chose to die for us. Out of all that, he still chose to die. He loves us. And that's all I need. I know, I don't know. Because at my worst, I wasn't standing up here, that's for sure. I wasn't worthy to speak into anybody's life. I didn't have anything to give. That's how I felt, right? I had nothing. And at my worst, he chose to die. So it's only through him that I could do this. It's only through him that we can do anything, anything, anything. And that is identity. That's our identity. By the grace of God, we live. By the grace of God, we can love. It's easy to love those people that are easy to love. It's easy to love my family. Every day. But those people that push us, and we all have them, this week, if you embrace this, you're probably going to get tested. Okay. There's four signs. This is what came to me as I was praying through. Four signs that you're struggling with who you think you are. So see if this may apply to some of you. Every single one of them apply to me. I'll just say that. That's why I wrote them in my notes. They've all applied to me at some time in my life. Number one is you are easily offended. If you're easily offended, you're struggling with identity. Especially if you're offended by other people in the church. I believe a follower walking with the Holy Spirit, in step with the Holy Spirit, probably will offend those that are not in here. So if we walk with the Holy Spirit, it's really hard to be offended. Really difficult. Doesn't mean it doesn't happen, but it's really hard. So if you're easily offended, you're struggling with who you think you are. And sometimes the thing that's not even meant for us, we get offended by. Like, we assume they're talking about us. Yeah, they're like, you know, that somebody tells a story, we hear it secondhand, and, oh, it's about me. When they weren't even talking about you. But we're offended by somebody's conversation that wasn't even about us. That is a sign of identity, right? Secondly, you're constantly seeking approval from the world. You're constantly seeking approval from the world. Here's what I mean. The world and those in it, us, are not going to give us long-term contentment ever. The quick fixes of this world just won't do it, and I've tried a lot of them. We need to seek first the kingdom of God, and then all things will be added to us, right? Seek first the kingdom. I love my wife more than any human on this planet, and I make sure she knows that. But her approval of me does not trump God's approval of me. Her approval of me and what I do does not trump God's approval of me. Now, thank goodness we haven't had any issues where I've had to test that very much. But her approval of me doesn't trump God's approval of me. I find immense happiness in my wife. She knows that too. But it's not her that makes me happy. I don't know if you guys have heard that before, but it's not her that actually makes me happy. It's Jesus through her that makes me happy. That's what I see. Because without Jesus, we wouldn't be together. Our story is that we found Jesus through each other. I came back to the Lord through Mindy. Mindy actually was not even a Christian, was of another faith. Came to know Jesus through my relationship with my father, my dad, who used to sit right down here. That's how we met when we were dating. And I knew I couldn't marry her, even in my brokenness, I couldn't marry her if she wasn't a believer. I just couldn't do it. But she met Jesus, I reconnected with Jesus, and we've gone on this wild adventure together with him and with each other and Jesus. And it's been crazy, the craziest things we've done. We've been all over the world doing really what the world thinks is stupid things, dangerous things. And he's met us every time because we find happiness and joy in him first. I'm full of joy 98% of the time because I have a designer, a savior, a comforter, a healer, and a friend. The third sign that you may be struggling with who you think you are is you've lost your joy. Like I said before, if you're connected to the vine, the source of strength, joy is easy. Even in hardship, laughing at your circumstances, you know. Back in 2011, we decided to take our whole family, the kids were tiny, to Mozambique, Africa for a summer. Some of you have heard this. I was a teacher. I'd left my high-tech job, became a teacher. My first year salary was $28,000 a year with a master's degree. And we went from, we lost 80% of our pay. So I'm a teacher. I was a teacher for 3 years. And God told us to go to Africa for the summer with our kids. Josiah was 18 months old. We had we had two in diapers. We packed 700 diapers for our trip. And wipes. So we had $200 in our bank account, our savings account at that time. $200. Barely making it week to week, honestly. Like, we needed help to eat. And I needed $25,000 in 6 months. I'm like, okay, Lord, well, that's not coming from the school district, so you're going to have to do something else. Like, I just didn't have anything. And God spoke and said, don't you worry about it. I got it. Not only did we pay ago, we had to pay tuition for this missionary school we went to. We had to buy flights to Mozambique, Africa, which back then were expensive, and money to pay all of our bills and money to eat and all that, right? Not only did I have enough, I had more than enough and more than we thought coming back. So I came back from Africa. Oh, by the way, right before I left, I got fired as a teacher. So I left with no job. And I got fired because I preached the gospel in school, which you can't do. I get that. But I did it anyway. And we had more than enough. Because when God speaks and you are obedient, he will finance the operation you need. He does it. I've seen it in my life so many different times. We shouldn't be able to afford to come back to Terre Haute. But I'm buying my second house in Terre Haute. We close on Friday. I don't even know how that happened, guys. I really don't. It just happened. We weren't planning for it. It's not like we saved all this money. We just happened to have enough to be able to not only move again. Moving is expensive, especially across the United States, you know, or 10 hours away. God will finance you. God will take care of you. God will meet you when you trust him. When you trust who you are. When you think of who you are. So a couple more things and we'll finish. The fourth thing is you don't have a sense of peace. One of the gifts of the Holy Spirit is a peace that surpasses all of our understanding, the kind of peace that doesn't make any sense because everything in your life is upside down, but you're experiencing it anyway. Is anybody's life upside down sometimes? Some of us are like, yep, right now, my life is upside down. Plug into Jesus, and even though it's upside down, you will be at peace because he will take care of you. I don't know how the bills are going to get paid, Lord. That's okay. They will. Maybe not on time because I made some dumb choices, but they're going to get there, right? God will take care of us. I fully believe that. And this community of people, if you're struggling, reach out to us. Reach out and ask for help. We are supposed to bear one another's burdens. We are supposed to take care of each other. Money should not be the issue when you need help. It shouldn't. Is it? Yeah, we're sometimes just too proud, right? We're too proud. I got behind on my electric bill, but I'm not going to ask anybody. Ask. Come to me. Come to me personally, and we will figure it out. I will help you. I promise you that. And there's so many in this room that will help you because I believe that's what we're supposed to do. Because I've been there, and some of you've been there, some of you are there, and we're going to help you. Amen? Okay, be at peace. The privilege of our life is to further the glory of God on earth. We must anchor our soul to two things. What did God say? Both scriptures, what did God say? What has he said to you about what maybe your next move or your next experience or in your business or in your personal life or if you're struggling with something? Some of you in this room, I feel strongly right this very second, are struggling with depression. If you're struggling with depression, let's plug into what God's saying about who you are, right? He loves you so much. I'm not discounting anything that you're feeling. He loves you so much and he wants to lift you out of that. I've seen it in my life, and I've seen it in others. If you're struggling with that, get some prayer if you haven't already. God will meet you there, I promise. Number two is, who are you? Who do you think you are, Nick? Huh? Who do you think you are? Because it's not a negative thing. He wants you to think who you're his. I always ask Larry, how you doing, Larry? What do you say, Larry? Better than I deserve, every single time. If you ask Larry, how you doing? Better than I deserve. That's an identity thing. We know, right? He knows. How you doing? Who are you? Who do you want to be? What is God saying it to you? I don't know if it's Arnick. Arnick, are you coming up? All right. At some point, you actually have to come to this realization with an absolute abandonment, like nothing is getting in the way of the Word of God in my life. If you're allowing other things and other people and people's opinions to get away in the way of what God's saying to, about you and to you, you will struggle with identity. You will struggle with knowing what to do next. What do I do next, God? Sometimes we need to walk through that. What do I do next, God? But the peace is there because we're still waiting. The peace is because we're still waiting. Last story. And then I'm gonna let you guys take some time, just a couple of minutes. Beginning of the year, God, Mindy and I always pray at the beginning of the year for vision for the year for our family. And it was so clear, I almost didn't believe it, that he said, I want you to go back. I'm like, what? We just got here. I have a great job. And just so you know, nothing was going wrong. My job was amazing. I had a ton of favor at the position I had, the most money I've ever made in my life. And God said, go back. What? But there was such peace and such unity between Mindy and I that it wasn't even a problem. I'm like, okay. I don't know how that's going to work. Where are we going to live? We have another house here. We leased it out for 2 years. Can't move there. Deli and Kelly said we could stay with them, but, you know, six of us in one room, probably not going to work out. We looked at rent, and we just were like, Lord, you got to help us here. But he said, go. I didn't know where I was going to work. I didn't know anything. And all of a sudden, pieces are all falling into place. So I just trusted. If you're calling me to do this, and I'm just going to do it. I trust you. I'd have no idea. I've been here 3 weeks, staying at Deli and Kelly's house by myself, you know, and everything God is doing. I'm so thankful for him. Thankful for those that are praying for us. But I want to pray for you. So let's take just a couple of minutes. Arnick's going to play something. I'm going to ask you, implore you, actually, to, if you have to, if you get distracted with your eyes open, close them. And really just listen. What is God saying to you? What's God saying about you? That helps with our identity, too. You're amazing. You're wonderful. I love you. You're my son. You're my daughter. I've got you. I'll take care of you. I want the best for you. Those are the things he's saying. God, I am so thankful for Christway and what you're doing here, what you're pouring in. We want nothing but to know who we are in you. And God, let us recognize when the deceiver comes to twist those things you're saying, show us how to kick him out. And really just hone in on your voice. I just declare that all the things that have been twisted are untwisted right now, in Jesus' name. I declare that our ears are open to you. And if there's anybody in this room who have never heard the voice of God, keep listening. He's speaking. We honor you, Jesus. We praise you. We thank you. Jesus' name. Just take a couple of minutes, and Jeremy will close us out.